Good evening, everyone. I'm Linor Mudu. Welcome to Health Chat. If you are like many people, you may have experienced some form of stress, perhaps once or more than once in your life. Stress is part of life, according to some experts, but if it's not managed early on and properly, it can affect your life, your productivity, and your health. Medical experts say anything that poses a challenge or a threat to our well-being is a stress, and stresses can undermine both our mental and physical health. On the program today, we will discuss stress and look at ways to prevent or manage it. And joining us via phone from Augusta, Georgia, is Dr. Melvin Mahone. Dr. Mahone is assistant sociology professor at Payne College in Augusta, Georgia, and a fellow from the American Institute of Stress. He is also assistant editor for the Combat Stress magazine. Dr. Mahone, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
It is good to have you, Dr. Mahone. Stress is such a broad topic in the sense that so many people say they are stressed, right? But there are different types of stress. There are different levels of stress. Would you please enlighten us in terms of what stress is really? What can we, how do we describe it? How can we identify it?
Well, first of all, let me describe it. I'm going to give you an example.
Okay.
This is an engineering definition of stress, borrowed from the physical sciences. A dam, for example, will weaken and may be unable to withstand a temporary increase in pressure, which might occur when more than the usual amount of water is backed up behind it. Eventually, even without extra stress, the dam will weaken to the point where it will collapse with little or no warning. Now, stress defined. In this sense, you are no different from the dam.
Okay.
If the stress on you exceeds your personal elastic limits, you will weaken and collapse just as surely as a dam will.
Okay.
Now,
please go ahead.
Time to find out how you did on the five examples of stress. I want the audience to listen to this.
Okay.
People who feel stress are nervous to start with. You always know when you're under stress. Prolonged physical exercise will weaken your resistance to stress. Stress is always bad. Stress can cause unpleasant problems, but at least it can't kill you. Now, all five of those statements are false.
Okay. All right. So what is true?
None of them are true.
Okay.
All of them are false.
Okay.
Now, let me define stress for you. Another way of enduring stress is that it becomes the physiological or psychological response you make to an external event or condition called a stressor. Now, that deals with the environment. For example, what are you doing as you read this? Eating? Playing on your cell phone? Thinking about what's your dinner tonight? If you are not doing anything else at all, you are part of a small minority. Today, most of us do not do just one thing at a time. We find ourselves with more to do in less time.
Mm-hmm. But it's interesting. It's interesting you're saying that, because it is true that today we are doing more than one thing at a time. And people, I mean, it is called multitasking, but there's a tendency that to show that multitasking, someone who is able to multitask, has a certain type of skill. They present it as a skill set to be able to multitask. When in fact, if I understand you correctly, this can easily lead to stress.
Yes, ma'am. Now, the consequences of stress. While some stress can be positive, most are counterproductive, disruptive, and potentially dangerous. Mm. Here are some examples of negative stress.
Okay.
Here's a rundown of stress. Excessive daydreaming, anxiety, hostility, change in appetite, accident proneness, apathy, forgetfulness, fatigue, irritability, stuttering. All of those make up stress. Those are symptoms of stress.
Okay. All right. So as we mentioned earlier, it seems like stress is really part of life. So at what point does one become concerned about the stress that they have?
When it starts affecting them mentally and physically, you feel so bad that you force yourself to go to the psychiatrist and tell the psychiatrist or psychologist, I don't feel well. This has been happening to me. This has been happening to me. I have all these symptoms, and I don't know where they're coming from. In other words, they're forced to go to the psychologist to find out what's wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, let me mention about positive stress.
Okay, please.
It has been stated that stress is a response to our environment. That's a stressor. In other words, it is brought out about a change. If everything were totally stable, you would never have to change and never have to adapt. In fact, you would never have to do anything. There is a type of stress that is a response to stimulating that to find challenging or satisfying. Without it, there would be no motivation and probably very little creativity. Thus, when many negative stressors cause distress, positive ones produce eustress. Now, eustress is good stress. We need that in our lives, and we get that automatically. Let me explain to you what eustress is.
Uh-huh.
Eustress is a term from the Greek language meaning good, as in euphoric, coined by Dr. Hans Schillet. Now, he's from where I am, from the Institute of Stress, considered a pioneer of modern stress therapy.
Uh-huh.
Eustress refers to stress that is beneficial, creative, pleasant, and produces a positive outcome or stimulation. With eustress, you feel a sense of satisfaction, perhaps even exhilaration, in having accomplished a challenging goal. Overall, eustress is necessary in your life.
Okay.
Now, you ask yourself, what stress is not? In the book, The Stress of Life, in my book, Coping with Stress and Building Leadership, One Man's Journey, Hans Schillet and myself identify several notions of what stress is not. They include stress is not, get this now, stress is not a nervous tension. This is probably the most frequent misuse of the term, such as when we say, I'm feeling stressed out about my upcoming progress review with my boss. Stress is not always bad or always caused by a negative event.
Okay.
A promotion of a warm embrace can result in stress.
Okay.
Stress is not always something to be avoided. Too little stress can be as counterproductive as too much stress.
Wow. How do we find the right balance? That's a bit tricky, I suppose.
All right. So let's look at the response, responding to stress. How your body responding to stress, how your body responds to stressors is always a description of how your body mobilizes in order to protect itself. Your stress response is quite extensive. The major systems include your brain, the automatic nervous system, and the endocrine system. The primary objective of these simple systems in a stress situation is to restore the equilibrium that is threatened by the invading stressor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, stressors is what causes stress. Without those stressors in the environment, you wouldn't have those stressors. Now, let's look at the consequences of stress. You have hypertension. I have that. You have ulcers. I don't have that. You have diabetes. I don't have that. You have headaches. I have that from time to time. You have sexual problems. I have that. You have coronary artery disease. I have that. I had open heart surgery due to stress. And what happened to me in Vietnam?
Yes, that's. Thank you for making that. Really listing all this and also including yourself, because, and it's something that I was going to come to, you are someone who had to deal with post-traumatic stress disorder, and it's really something we were going to touch on in the second part of the show, but we can definitely start talking about it. And the reason I mention it now is because you have to deal with stress, and you have to deal with post-traumatic stress disorder, as I mentioned, PTSD. So, Dr. Mahon, if we speak about your case, and we'll come to it now, talk to us about what, first of all, you talked about being coming from combat, but what happened to you that led you to stress?
Well, first of all, let's look at the definition of post-traumatic stress disorder. It is a mental health condition that's triggered by a terrific event. Terrifying event, either experiencing it or witnessing it. Symptoms may include flashbacks, which I've had. I've experienced flashbacks because I thought about the past, and I had anniversary dates, and that caused flashbacks. Nightmares and severe anxiety, as well as uncontrollable thoughts about the event. I've had that. Most people who go through traumatic events, they have temporary difficulty adjusting and coping. But with time and good self-care, they usually get better if the symptoms get worse, last for months or even years, and interfere with yourself. I can go back when I started feeling stress, PTSD, back in 1980, when I first went to the VA to find out what was wrong with me. I said, hey, doc, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I'm having all of these symptoms. Now, the symptoms, it varies in different people. But with me, the symptoms were some of the most common symptoms of PTSD include recurring memories or nightmares of the event, sleeplessness, loss of interest, and feelings of numbness, anger or irritability, or being constantly on guard. But there are many ways PTSD can impact your everyday life. Now,
so when you you experience heavy stress, such as what you've experienced. Do you have the answer in terms of, do all people who go through trauma or very heavy type of stress develop PTSD?
Yes, that is PTSD.
Okay.
And let me explain some of the signs and symptoms of PTSD. Alcohol or drug problems, anger and irritability, chronic pain, confusion, difficulty concentrating, dizziness, eating problems, feeling on edge, feelings of hopelessness, flashbacks, and you gamble. People gamble or not. And you have guilt, headaches, loss of interest, nightmares, noise or light irritation, reckless behavior, relationship problems, social withdrawal, stress and anxiety, trouble sleeping.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And so, your life events and experience coming out of the matters, death of family or friends, family and relationships, financial and legal users, homelessness. Mm-hmm. A lot of veterans that they have PTSD are homeless because they can't think. They don't know what to do. And I was homeless myself at one time in my life. I was homeless, and I couldn't think. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what was wrong with me. I was lost.
Oh, wow.
Now,
is it then when you talk about it, it seems like it's something that is so... It's a very critical condition. Is it considered a disability of some sort, or it's just a condition that can be treated?
Is what, ma'am?
Is it considered, given how difficult it is and how serious of a condition it is it considered a disability, or is it a condition that can be treated and maybe cured?
It's a disability, and it can be treated and later cured, because over time, the treatment will take over, and it'll be brought under control. Now, mine has been brought under control with the right medication and the right diet, and I go see a doctor every 2 or 3 months. I see a psychologist at the VA every 3 or 4 months for my PTSD. And that helps bring down the control.
Mm-hmm. So given the way that people develop PTSD, which is linked to trauma and very, very difficult experiences, who is most likely to develop it? Or it doesn't matter, anybody from a child to an adult, from a woman to a man, from a soldier to a teacher, in, you know, your 9-to-5 teacher, who is most likely to develop PTSD?
Who is most likely?
Yes.
Well, you don't need that. If you have a, let's say you were driving one day, and you had a terrific, terrifying accident.
Okay.
Or you're taking a plane, you took a plane, in the plane crash, and you had a terrifying event. If you have flashbacks later on of that event, that's PTSD.
Okay. So that person who experienced either the car accident or the plane crash, or it's really any event in life that is traumatic, which means that anybody can develop PTSD.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So
now let me tell you about the signs of post-traumatic stress disorder. The signs, a wide variety of symptoms, may be signs that are experienced in post-traumatic stress disorder. The following are some of the most common symptoms of PTSD that you or those around you may have noticed. Feeling upset about things that remind you of what happened. Having nightmares. Symptoms, nightmares, vivid memories or flashbacks, symptoms, flashbacks of the event that make you feel like it's happening all over again, feeling emotionally cut off from others, feeling numb, we're losing interest, symptoms, loss of interest in things you used to care about, feeling constantly on guard, feeling irritated or having angry outbursts, symptoms, anger, irritability, having difficulty sleeping, having trouble concentrating, symptoms, difficulty concentrating, being jumpy or easily startled.
Okay, Dr. Mahone, thank you so much for revisiting the symptoms, because it's important for us to know and to identify those signs. So we have to take a short break, Dr. Mahone. Please stick around. We will continue the discussion when we come back, because there is more to talk about. It's such an important topic to know, to understand, and to identify. So, Dr. Mahone, please stick around, and all of you listeners will be right back for more on stress and particularly PTSD. Don't go away. We'll be back.
Twenty-year-old Ayan Adam and her mother fled Somalia to Kenya after the terrorist group Al-Shabaab in 2010 attacked their Mogadishu neighborhood. But their asylum applications were rejected.
We fled the armed gangs and explosions in Mogadishu and reached the Hagardeh refugee camp. We stayed there for 18 months, but when our hopes were dashed, we moved back home.
Adam moved into the center, which treats post-traumatic stress disorder after suffering a mental breakdown. Halima Roble, Ayani's mother.
I started searching for her, but as I was looking, I received a call informing me that my daughter was found by an aid agency in the area. I rushed to the location where my daughter was and saw that she had savage bruising on her body and was screaming.
The World Health Organization says one-third of Somalis are affected by mental health issues like PTSD. But Ayan is one of the few who are getting proper treatment. Dr. Abdulrahman Ali Awale is one of only three licensed psychiatrists in Somalia, a country of approximately 15 million people.
Causes of post-traumatic stress disorder in this country include constant fear, owing to the hostility of surrounding people, explosions, displacement, unemployment, and poverty, which is actually one of the main causes of stress.
Impoverished Somalia's focus on security means there are few resources to treat mental health problems. Addiction to drugs, such as the narcotic stimulant leaf khat, only worsens the problem. Patients suffer from a lack of medicine and medical infrastructure and poorly qualified doctors. Dr. Abdulrazaq Yusuf is Director of Medical Services for Somalia's Ministry of Health.
Although PTSD has been included in the country's national strategic plan, the government is unable to come up with official baseline data. That has delayed the government's necessary intervention towards PTSD in regards to treatment, prevention, and psychosocial counselling. All these obstacles have prevented us from effectively dealing with PTSD.
Meanwhile, Somalis like Adam are doing their best to cope and recover from the trauma of violence, with the hope that one day they can live a normal life. Mohamed Sheikh Noor for VOA News, Mogadishu.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us tonight, we are discussing stress and PTSD. And our guest is Dr. Melvin Mahone. He's assistant sociology professor at Penn College in Augusta, Georgia, and a fellow from the American Institute of Stress. Among other things, he's also an author. And Dr. Mahone, can you tell us about the book that you wrote? I mean, we heard the story about PTSD and how it's being addressed in Somalia. And one of the challenges is access to proper care, access to the proper expertise. In your book, you try to address, to share information and also help those who may experience PTSD and stress. So talk to us about what kind of information is available in your book.
Well, first of all, when I wrote this book, I was writing it to help fellow veterans and myself and people in law enforcement. And the name of the book is Coping with Stress and Building Leadership. Okay. One Man's Journey.
Okay.
The one man was me.
Okay.
And I talked about how PTSD took a hold on my life from Vietnam all the way to the present. I talked about PTSD. I talked about stress. I talked about how I went to counseling.
Okay. So you basically share your experience. So I think one of the aspects of something so critical that PTSD, it affects you, but it also affects people around you. We know that whether it's family, loved ones, are also affected directly or indirectly by a condition like PTSD. So how can someone help a friend or a loved one who has PTSD, drawing from your experience, what can loved ones do to help someone who's dealing with PTSD?
Well, they can refer them.
In terms of, like, the support system?
If they're a veteran, and chances are 8 out of 25 of them, people, if I'm not mistaken, has PTSD from Vietnam, mm-hmm. they can go to the VA. If they're not a veteran, they can go to a regular doctor and get help for PTSD.
Okay. And what does an organization like the American Institute of Stress can provide, can help with to support people such as yourself?
Pardon me now?
What does an organization such as the American Institute of Stress do to help people who have PTSD and stress?
Well, we're a non-for-profit education organization. We don't treat people with PTSD.
Okay. You provide help, support, and information?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So, Dr. Mahoon, before we wrap, what is your final message that you'd like to share?
The final thing I want to share with the listeners is, if you have PTSD, don't let it get the best of you. Seek help. Don't say you don't have PTSD and you have it. And if you ever heard of rock bottom for an alcoholic?
Yeah.
Well.
Okay.
If you have PTSD and you hit rock bottom.
Okay.
The best thing to do is to seek help.
Okay.
Don't go around thinking you don't have it, you can't be cured, because it can. It helped me.
All right.
I saw help.
All right. So the message is clear. It's about seeking help. If you think that hearing this show, you may have some signs, please seek help. Dr. Melvin Mahoon, thank you so much for joining us today. It was great to have you on the program. We wish you all the best.
Thank you, ma'am.
And I'm your host, Lenore Moudou, in Washington, with producer Dan Brown and engineer Nashwan. Thank you to all of you for joining us on this edition of Health Chat. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.
This is VOA News.